Here we go. Yes, you're listening to Law and Gospel on this July the 5th in the year of our Lord 2024. Yesterday we celebrated July the 4th. We live in Overland, Missouri, and fireworks began around 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and they continued till midnight. And I think the only reason they ended at midnight is because it began raining and storming, and with thunder and some lightning, it was kind of tough to do fireworks outside. So we went from fireworks that man does to thunder, which God does. Very interesting. We're able to sleep a little earlier than usual. What do I want to talk about today? You know, I really enjoy watching YouTube. They have movies on there. They have cooking shows. But one of the interesting things they have is about airplanes. They talk a lot about airplanes. And I've come to realize that what happens in an airplane, particularly where the pilots are sitting, is very similar to what happens when a pastor does a sermon. What? How can that be similar? Well, let's begin with a fact that really surprised me. That 70% of airplane accidents are caused by the pilots. Now, that doesn't mean that 70% of airplanes have accidents. Only a very, very small percentage end up with an accident where the airplane falls to the ground. But in those situations, they have found that 70% of the time, it's the pilot's fault. And it got me thinking that there are certain airplane rules that are quite adequate for doing a Bible study or a sermon. Like yesterday, we celebrated Independence Day. But that doesn't mean that people have freedom to do whatever they want. No, there are laws that we are to follow, done by the House or the Senate. And most importantly, there are guidelines that are followed that the Supreme Court is to watch out for. And they do that on the basis of taking a look at the Constitution and bylaws of the United States. And therefore, they decide what is appropriate and what is inappropriate. So, the church is to follow the guidelines of the government unless they cause us to sin. For example, we're really happy when the Supreme Court came out against abortion. But we're not too happy when they indicate that gay marriage is appropriate. That's not appropriate. It's contrary to God's will. And for the Supreme Court to say something like that has caused all kinds of problems in marriages, in families, in the community, as more and more people are moving away from the Bible in that area, and therefore causing great consternation in other areas. So what are we talking about about how rules on an airplane are very similar to that in doing a sermon. Well, let's begin with one that I was unaware of. When the pilots in the cockpit turn on the motors of the airplane, and those are quite huge with jet planes, they are only supposed to talk about how to fly out of the airport and not say anything else until they hit 10,000 feet in the air. I was not aware of that. But they gave examples of how that caused real problems. For example, there were two pilots who were supposed to be going through the list of things. And an airplane has that. Here are the steps to follow when you take off. And they're supposed to concentrate on those steps and not do any other personal talking. But what had occurred is that one of the stewardesses had walked in, and while the engines had started and they were supposed to be going through the points, they began talking about what they were going to do when they reached their destination. Well, they were going to have supper together. They talked about what would a meal consist of, etc. And while they were talking with the stewardess, they were also going through the points to follow for a takeoff. Unfortunately, as airplane rules have followed, they forgot some of the steps they were to take. They did not have the flaps properly positioned for a takeoff. They forgot to do that. One of the most important things airplane pilots are to do. But in the midst of talking to the stewardess until she left the cockpit, they were mixing up what they were supposed to be talking about and what they weren't talking about. Well, when the plane took off, the flaps were not in the proper position, and therefore the plane was unable to lift off the ground, and it crashed a few moments after it took off. There are occasions, of course, when an airplane accident occurs because of the airplane items that pilots are to be looking at. I was watching one recently where it indicates how high a plane is and how fast it is going. And the pilot and the co-pilot have their own instruments to show that. But then when they differ, the pilots have to make a decision as to which instrument is correct and follow it. And there was, again, an indication where they were confused and couldn't understand what was happening. There was actually an oil leak in one of the wings, but it wasn't obvious, and the gasoline was being emptied very quickly. they ran out of gasoline. They ran out of what flies the plane, and it crashed because they were not watching carefully the rules. See, that's what happens when you go to the scripture. The most important rule that I found that pilots made errors on was on what they considered to be their confirmation of something. So something would go wrong with the plane, and they would take a look at what they saw in front of them and come to a conclusion that it was really something that it wasn't. And it didn't matter what happened on the plane, but they continued to follow what they thought was wrong rather than what the plane guidelines were showing was wrong. For example, there are airports where when you descend, you're only to go a certain distance, let's say 3,000 feet, until you get closer to the airport. That's because, and I've never understood this, there are often hills or mountains between the place where you're landing and a little further out. Well, the airplane pilots had gone down to 1,000 feet instead of the 3,000 they were at. And they were in clouds, so they couldn't understand why the airplane kept telling them, "You're too close to the ground, too close to the ground." But they didn't believe that. They thought they were far enough from the ground that they'd be able to land the plane. And suddenly, when they broke through the crowds, they broke into trees and a forest. And the top of the trees broke through the plane, and the plane crashed to the ground because they were not observing what the instruments on the plane were saying. They were confirming what they thought was correct. And it didn't matter what was truly correct. No, they had made a decision and they followed it without looking properly at the guidelines. Or at every airport that they're going to, they have maps indicating how low they should be and at what time they should go lower. Sometimes, because of the hills and mountains, there is a step down, starting about 30 miles away from the airport, where they go lower one at a time. And if they ever skip one of them, then they're too low and often will crash into the ground rather than reach the airport. Now, what has all this got to do with preaching and teaching? What is false doctrine? False doctrine occurs when you are trying to confirm what you believe rather than what the Bible says. For example, it just surprises me how many people believe that they are saved by their works. They get that view because that is the view of every other religion outside of Christianity. It's your works that save you. Now, we believe works are important, but they have to have the proper motivation. And that doesn't occur until after you have received faith and after you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's really important. When people believe that they're saved by their works, they also often believe that the faith that they have is something that they came up with by means of their free will. And even though there are many passages in the Bible that show that you're not saved by making your own decision, people still continue to believe that. And they encourage individuals to invite Christ into their heart, thinking that by doing that, they are going to be saved. That's false confirmation. They'll take a look at the Bible, and there are many passages that contradict that notion. For example, Jesus says, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you." And then you get all kinds of parables that really put that to the test. The parable of the lost sheep. Who's ever going to say that the lost sheep chose to be found? That the lost sheep saw Jesus, ran up to him, jumped on his shoulders? No. It's that in Luke 15, the lost sheep is found by Jesus. Jesus places the lost sheep on his shoulders and carries it home. That's a totally different understanding. Then you have people who actually believe in evolution. That's ridiculous. You can't find evolution anywhere in the Bible, and particularly in the first chapters of Genesis, we learn that the world was created in 6 24-hour days, and God rested on the seventh. Yet, people seem to read the Bible and never change their view about how the world was created. They put a false scientific method over a biblical interpretation, thinking, therefore, no, I want to confirm what I believe rather than what God believes. That, of course, was the essence of the fall into sin of Adam and Eve. God told them clearly, "Eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die." The devil told them, "No, eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you will become like God." Well, it was more satisfying to listen to the devil. So Adam and Eve confirmed their understanding in a way that was absolutely contrary and led into the fall of human beings into sin, which every human being does. We are born with original sin. But then there are those who want to confirm that when you are born, you are sinless. And what makes you sin is the environment. And if you can prove in court that it's not you who did something, but something that occurred in the environment, like the way you were brought up, the way you were treated at school, and leads people to do terrible things, that oftentimes the penalty is reduced or they get no penalty at all. For example, right now in California, we're told that you can steal quite a bit of money from, say, a drugstore or take products, and you will not be penalized because they have a view that people may need those items, and therefore the penalty is taken away. The more I listen to the YouTube airplane accidents, the more I begin to understand why people follow false doctrine. They follow it because, number one, it seems to be more reasonable in order to solve the problems that they are facing. So if a plane is flying level, and then all of a sudden it begins to make movements that send the plane up and down in the sky, there are specific rules to follow to make sure that that can be corrected. But when those rules are not followed, the corrections do not occur, and accidents happen. We can thank the Lord that the vast majority of airplane trips do not result in accidents. But when they do occur, the statistics show that 70% of them are due to pilot error. I enjoy on YouTube listening to sermons. And a lot of times you can tell right away the error made by the person doing the sermon, because they tell you, here's what you are to do in order to be saved, when in reality, you are to do nothing. But they will therefore put the commandments in a way that here's what you need to do. And if you do these things, God will reward you. No, nobody is rewarded for their good works. Their good works can only occur after they are totally saved, and they are not the reason why you are saved. They're instead a result of your being saved, so that you can gladly, joyously, and without compulsion obey the will of the Lord. That is the way of Christianity. So it's very important that you follow the rules and the guidelines in doing a sermon. I had a professor, Martin Charlemagne, who had 12 steps in writing a sermon. And the last one, was to look up the commentaries. No, the other ones were taking a look at the original Hebrew or Greek, finding out what they meant, taking a look at the context. There were a number of rules so that when you finished studying, you properly understood what Jesus had to say. I've been saying this for some months now. The goal of the pastor is not only to explain the original languages or the culture of that day, but to explain the English. Because a lot of times, people have a view of the English, trying to confirm what they believe in their minds rather than what God is really saying in the text. So we listen to the words of God the Father on the Mount of Transfiguration. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And listening to him frees us from the curse of the law, from our sinful nature, and gives us a sure hope of heaven, because this is what Jesus says. Join us Monday for a continuation of Law and Gospel. Until then, God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.